Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast with myself, John Norman, alongside Steve Harmison, looking back at all the action every time England play international cricket this summer. Plenty to get our teeth stuck into as well. What a fascinating day's play and the backdrop of 18,000 raucous and drunk fans. Brilliant stuff. Let's get on with the show. So if you are listening to Following On, you probably know by now it was an almost perfect scorecard for day one, 258 for seven, meaning we're unscored and wickets taken, 90 overs bowled. In fact, they didn't even have to bowl up until 6:30. What riches. England's start in the day the better, 67 without loss at lunch, only to lose a wicket straight after. And then one became two, became three. 72 for one became 85 for three. And when Ollie Pope went just before the tea break, it was a case of here we go again. However, Rory Burns at top score with 81. Dan Lawrence was there at the close of 67. And despite another couple of quick wickets after the tea break, England recovered, sort of. Let's find out who had the better day's play as we look back and discuss what story of the day is.
Story of the day.
Okay, Harmy, so yeah, first question really. 258 for seven. England wouldn't have taken that at lunch, but they would have taken it when they were 175 for six. Whose day was it, England's or New Zealand's?
I think obviously because of seven wickets, it's New Zealand's. But with no Kane Williamson in their side, it's a good pitch, but it's not one that you think, right, it's an absolute belter, it's a road. I think honours is even at this moment in time. England come out and get 320, 330 tomorrow if Mark Wood can hang around. Then I still think at this moment in time it's even Stephen. Story of the day for me is changes for New Zealand. New Zealand makes six changes. Two enforced in Santner with a bus finger and obviously Kane Williamson couldn't play. Selby has a bit of a rest. Watland has a rest. So there's a question mark. Is it disrespectful to international cricket? I would argue it's not. I think you've got the right to bring a squad over, give them games, give them game time. They haven't played a lot of lead-up cricket, warm-up cricket. They didn't have a warm-up game. The big picture for New Zealand, and England would be in the same, is the Test Championship against India down at Southampton. And they're given the best chance to pick 11 players to play in the game, which is going to be to determine which is the best team in the world. I think over the course of the last sort of 6 days of international cricket, New Zealand have showed that they are a very, very good side. The reason why they're a Test Championship, and they've got a pool of players now, not just six or seven, they've got 15, 16 players that can perform at international level. That's England's challenge. England have made, obviously, the IPL lads aren't playing, but none down at lunch. Last time that happened, Cook, Sir Andrew Strauss, 2011 against India. That tells you everything about England's top over the course of the last decade. I thought New Zealand bowled well up until lunch, didn't have the luck, got a bit of luck third over after lunch, and one becomes two, two becomes three, and England were staring down a barrel. If it wasn't for a good innings by Dan Lawrence and a few lower order just hang in there, It could have all fallen like a pack of cards, and England being all out for 200.
Well, I asked the question of Joe Root. Essentially, does it focus the mind a little bit more for these batsmen? The fact that five of them are playing for three places when, of course, Stokes and Butler come back. Root, of course, isn't one of those five. As things stand, Butler's coming straight in for Bracey. Lawrence is going up to three. And Crawley, a guy who got 200 against Pakistan last year, that Sourav Ganguly, I think, tweeted that a star had been born. That was a desperate shot again today. And the shot of a guy that belies a lack of confidence, maybe?
No confidence whatsoever. It just seems as though, you know, we talk about the guy on the shoulder, the man on the shoulder. I call it the Spanish waiter, little Manuel sitting on your shoulder. You know, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And in between times, you do neither and you get out. And I think that's where Zach's at this moment in time. Big ask me for Lawrence to bat number three. And I've said it. Talked on the Cricket Collective, said it in the studio. Mark Butcher absolutely berated me. And as much as he's not going there, Root at three, Lawrence at four, Pope at five, Stokes at six, Butler seven, is a better balance for England for me. Look at the bigger picture. He's played 104 test matches, Joe. I know there's all this clamour. You don't want to go to number four. I've sat all day, day one of the test match, with Ian Bell, talking about Ian Bell, how much comfortable he was, stylish batsman at number four. But sometimes your team needs you, and it needs must. And if this means needs must, that Joe has to go at three, because we are in a position where we're getting off to a good start, or we're not getting off to a good start. We seem to be two down very, very quickly in a quick space, whether it's 19 for two, or today, 60 for none, or 50-odd for none, 60 for two, we are doing the same sort of merry-go-round. So, look, Joe didn't get any runs. I might just be looking for something that's not quite there. I might be looking for pie in the sky because I want the world to be a great place. But unfortunately, the batting lineup's not working at this moment in time. We are not maximising our top order. And at this minute in time, yes, we're playing against good bowling attacks. But it's business, and the business is we're playing against India at home for five test matches, Australia away for five test matches. We are playing one of the best bowling attacks in the world. And if you can't get 450 in the first innings of a test match, you ain't winning many series. And at this minute in time, we just look all over the shop with our bat between one and six. And you can say what you want about Stokes and Butler not being in the team. But at best, though, not being in the team. But at the end of the day, we've been talking and going round in circles for the last year and a half, 2 years, that we cannot put first innings runs on the board. So something needs to change, and it needs to change very, very quickly. Zach's a minor part of it, because I think there's quite a few other little parts that go with it. But if it doesn't change, we ain't beating the big two. And the big two are India at home and Australia away.
Let's talk about New Zealand, though, because they are one of the big two. They're ranked second in the world, and they showed their strength again today, didn't they? They brought in Trent Bolt, who would have played in that first test match, of course. He's an absolute world-class bowler. We don't really need to talk about him, to be honest. But backing that up, they had Matt Henry, who's played 14 tests and comes in with the worst average of any Kiwi bowler who's played over 10 tests. The reason for that is he's never played back-to-back tests. He just can't get in the side. Some delicious deliveries from him. It's great to see him being his inclusion being celebrated. And then, of course, they got the slow left armour as well. It just shows the riches they've got. He came into the side. First day at Edgbaston, not only does he keep things tight, he takes two wickets. These guys, when you consider they've just dropped him, Southee, to the bench, he took a sixfer at Lord's. You're kind of seeing they've got all the bases covered, haven't they? And that's one of the reasons why they're going to be contesting the World Test Championship final next weekend.
They're very good around the world. Matt Henry might have the worst average for a New Zealand bowler that's played more than 10 test matches, but he comes off the back of getting 75 wickets for Kent last year and bowling beautifully. Seen him a few times on the TV. He bowled beautifully last year in English conditions. He's an English type bowler. He runs up, gathers his action at the. He's quite got strong action at the crease, and he hits the deck hard. So if there's anything in the surface, he'll get something out of it. And he did that today, and he did it very, very well. Bolt, yeah, anybody that watches IPL realised that Jim Bolton is a world-class performer. I thought the left-arm spinner, Patel, bowled beautifully. I really did. I thought he bowled lovely. He bowled nice. He bowled a good pace. He bowled a challenging line, which was a contained line. He was bowling for his fast bowlers at the other end. He wasn't trying to bowl the million-dollar ball. He wasn't trying to sort of zip it off middle and hit off where you could potentially get driven or cut because it doesn't turn as much in the first day of a game. He bowled sort of leg, middle of the leg, and he basically said, right, I'm going to block one end off. My fast bowlers need a rest. I'm going to do a job for my team, taking half an hour, 40 minutes out of the game, and the big lads are going to come back and take the wickets. So all in all, these have got all bases covered. They're a good side, and I was very, very impressed by them. But England are still in the game. Like I said before, if Wood can hang around, Broad and Anderson could chip away with a few. Lawrence can have a little bit like he did. I'm trying to think of who he played against. He got 150 of the week. He went to his 150 with a sort of slog sweep one-handed six. If he can have a day out and have 40 minutes where he goes like that and England can get 320, 350, put another 80 runs on, they're in the game. They're in the game because Jimmy Anderson, with a ball, a Duke ball, in the conditions we had this morning, he would have been licking his lips. It wouldn't surprise me if Jimmy's gone to Duke Joe Root this morning with the 162 cap, the 18,000 ovation he got. Come on, captain, just lose the toss. Come on, lose it, because it's going to swing and I'm in the game. But if it's going to be the same tomorrow morning, I think Jimmy Anderson will be a handful on this service, along with Stuart Broad, along with Mark Wood. And even though I was clamming for a spinner, England have not gone down there. Like, let's pick a batsman that can bowl spin at number eight and try and make the batting order a little bit longer. They've gone in with two fast lads at 90 mile an hour on his home ground. I can't wait to see Oliver Stone bowl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Moment of the day.
There were several moments of the day, wasn't there, Harmy? Some good, some bad. Let's start with a good one, actually, because I think, having spoken to you, the thing you're going to come away with over every, your overriding memory is going to be what happened surrounding Jimmy Anderson's 162nd cap.
Yeah, and the letting crowds back in. The one thing I would have said of all to Jimmy, 12 months ago, England could have been bold, they could have been brave and gone, you know what, Jim, it's time to move on. As much as our bowling unit is not going to be as strong without you in it, it's time to move on and retire him off. And that would have done a huge injustice to a man who's done so much for the English game, not only with his wickets, his role model, his performance, everything that goes with it. And 18,000 people in today, when the two teams came together, New Zealand were at the far end, the Wyatt stand in. England were wearing the black T-shirts like they did last week, and obviously what happened with Ollie Stone. And Jimmy Anderson got let. You would have thought it was like Jimmy Anderson's been there before. It was like coming off for a five for you. Hold the ball up. Your teammates applaud you off. And there was 18,000 people shouting, there's only one Jimmy Anderson. Only one Jimmy Anderson. And there is only one Jimmy Anderson. We'll never replace him. We'll never get anybody anywhere near him other than Stuart Broad. and he deserved that ovation today. Can't wait for him to get it tomorrow if he does well. And for me, that for me was the moment of the day. Crowds back in the ground singing, "There's only one Jimmy Anderson." 162 test matches is a ridiculous feat for anybody, let alone a fast bowler. He needs a huge amount of congratulations, dedication. Everything about the man is just hats off. And fingers crossed he can have a day out tomorrow, mark the occasion very, very well in the Hollis stand come Sunday afternoon when it's at its raucous and they've had a few pints on board and it's tea time. Jimmy's swinging and they're singing, "Oh, Jimmy, Jimmy." I'd love him to take the winning wicket because he deserves it. Because not only does he deserve for what he's done in 162 test matches, he deserves 18,000 people to be singing his name in a winning cause. And that's the biggest compliment I can play about the man, because he's been an absolute champion for English cricket.
Brilliant stuff. I hate to say it, but there was a equally awful moment. James Bracey chasing a wide one, first ball, got a duck on debuts, followed it up with another duck. Now, you've got to hope he's going to bat again, and the likelihood is he will bat again. But, you know it's a problem when they're wheeling out all the old batsmen from back in the day to get a pair. Although it'll be a split across two matches, but just the reaction of the guy when he'd done what he'd done and realised what had happened, it's a pretty awful moment, really.
It was, but it's a lesson. It's a good lesson sometimes. Sometimes what? You have to go through the hard times.
That's hard, man.
It is hard. The game is tough. Sat with Ian Bell all day talking about how difficult it is to play, especially when you play with a crowd. James Bracey's played a small sample size at Lords with the crowd. I thought he kept brilliantly at Lords. And he's got another chance in this game. There's four or five wicketkeepers knocking on the door to take that number seven spot. Love what he said before the Lords test. "I want to bat number three for England. Feel as though I can bat number three for England." Got a beauty by Tim Southey. He played a poor shot, chased it, wanted to get his first test run. He wanted to get off the mark. He's going to have to wait a little bit longer because he's going to have to keep in between time. So, how many times has people brought the old Graham Gooch got three or four ducks, pairs and all this? And the great, I think, Wally, all these great players have had an indifferent start. James Bracey will be no different. Fingers crossed he gets another go. Fingers crossed he gets some runs. And fingers crossed he keeps well, because England are going to need him, because we talked about Anderson, ball moving, broad, wood, stone. They're going to need their wicketkeeper to be right on the money. And hopefully, if he takes a couple of catches, give him some confidence, he'll come back and he'll score a few runs second innings.
LOL of the day.
Laugh out loud moment of the day. There must have been a few laugh out loud moments with that crowd in.
Yeah, the beer snake was there. Somebody threw a red shoe on them. It was like the lady. It was a red shoe. It's a red suede shoe. Went out just as Rory Burns. Plinked one off there. Plink one, yeah, he did. He got an outside edge, went down to third man, that went right past the red shoe. But it was hilarious. It was quite funny. This is what the game has been missing. Not only has it been missing crowds, it's been missing fun moments. At one point today, there was a vaccine chasing a bloke with a Boris Johnson wig mask on, and he was chasing a coronavirus round the Hollis stand. Doesn't get any better. This is what cricket is. And in afternoon, after tea, hey, laugh out loud moment of the day could have been anything, but the crowd being back in, talked about Anderson, daft things like that is why we love this game. It's 6.5 hours, and sometimes you have to have a bit of fun. And the boys in the crowd and the girls in the crowd had a great fun today. It was magnificent day of Test match cricket. Wickets, runs, laughs in the crowd. Can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. One of my favourite moments of cricket. One of my many favourite moments, it just involves what's going on in the crowd. I remember watching, remember when Pakistan were at, you must have played actually, 2006, and the Pakistanis refused to come out after tea.
Yeah.
And it was a completely boring game. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a completely boring game. It was day's play. I wouldn't remember any of that day if they hadn't refused to come out. And then suddenly nobody knew what was going on. And then, it all went, they didn't arrive. And then Boycott came out onto the pitch to do a piece to camera with Mark Nicholas for Channel 5. It would have been Channel 5 then. Channel 4 highlights, maybe. And the wind, a big wind, gush of wind, blew Boycott's hat off of his head. And he wears those real kind of like El Monte hats, doesn't he? So we had to go running after it. And the wind did that thing just as Boycott thought he was going to get to his hat. The wind blew it again. And so the crowd are going absolutely crazy. It was best day's cricket ever just because of that, really.
No, the crowd's brilliant. I remember a game at Headingley. Never forget. I think it was against Sri Lanka. I went round the park and I had a bad day. I think I went for about 95 off 10 overs. And there's a story in that as well. But I remember diving over one at the Western Terrace, around about tea time. And the boys and the girls in the crowd had a good drink. I remember Sydney Harbour Bridge, straight over it, went underneath me. And I've turned around and I got the usual, Harmison, you're not very good. Harmison, you're X, Harmison, you're that. And I turned around and it was Superman, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and Scooby-Doo. I thought, right, that's my life. That's it. It's just, they're just brilliant. Having people in the crowd, I don't think people understand how good it is for players. I'd love to know about footballers, rugby players or whatever. But at the top level, having players, having supporters in the ground, you don't know what it means to players and how it much gets them, not gets them going, concentration juices going. And I think today, I thought it was just a little sample size, what we need for going forward. Whether restrictions are lifted or restrictions aren't lifted, can you imagine when the Indians get here and the noise that England against India is going to be like? It is going to be magnificent and I can't wait for the August to come.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, let's wrap this up. What is going to happen on day two at Edgbaston?
Wood's going to hang around for another 20 balls. Broad's going to hang around for 10 balls and get 20. Anderson might hang around for about 10, 15 balls. So if Lawrence is with him for the whole lot of that, there's another 120 balls. That's 20 overs, I think. And for me, I reckon England will get 320. If England get 320, Anderson gets a brand new Duke's ball, make it talk on his record game, and England New Zealand will be two down at lunch. And if that's the case, it is game on and it'll be a fantastic test match.
Brilliant stuff. Well, you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks, I should say. Well, we'll find out if Harmy was right, won't we? We will be reunited on the following on podcast. Thanks for listening. Available at all your usual podcast outlets. But for now, that's it for following on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.